Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode, another installment, if you will, of the podcast Lead Singer Syndrome. I'm Shane Told, and I talk to other lead singers every single week about what it's like to be the front man or front woman of a band. And he's back, Mr. Patrick Miranda of Movements. They're back. He's back. They're also back with a brand new album, No Good Left to Give. If you liked their last album, you're going to love this one too. They evolved. They took some chances musically, lyrically. I love that they did that. They didn't play it safe. However, this record is just as solid, if not more solid, than their debut record, Feel Something. So check it out. And he's here, and he's great, and this is a great conversation that I actually just recorded moments ago. You know, usually with this thing, I've got a bunch in the queue, and sometimes, like, especially lately, because so many people have wanted to talk to me due to the COVID thing, sometimes it can even be like a month or two before I actually manage to get the episode out. But this one was recorded just moments ago. It's as fresh as it gets without being actually live, which I don't even know how I could even do that. So this is it. And I'm really excited for you to hear all about their new record and what's going on in Patrick's life. Before we get into that, I want to thank everybody who listened last week to the episode with Bonnie Fraser of Stand Atlantic, another great new band everyone needs to check out. The feedback was amazing on that one. And also, the new podcast on this feed called This Is the New Shit, where me and new music expert Mike Howell break down the new releases. And last week, the number one most anticipated was Machine Gun Kelly. That record is really, really making waves, both good and bad. I don't want to spill the beans on my thoughts. I'm going to go really, really in depth on Friday about it. So make sure that you come back on the podcast feed and you listen to This Is the New Shit on Friday right here. It'll be just above this, wherever you clicked on whatever you listen to it on. And I've really been enjoying this every single week, talking about new bands, you know, new records, finding out what's coming out. Because for me, I don't know, like, I'm 39 now and there's a lot going on in my life, you know, and sometimes I don't get a chance every single week to check out new records. So I love that this is forcing me to, and I'm sure there's so many people out there. They might love new music. They might even be set in their old ways and listen to the same records over and over again. Regardless, though, there's something here for you, definitely, just to know where to start. You know, okay, what's coming out? What should I check out? I like this kind of band, so what do I like? Because it's just so convoluted out there and so difficult. So shout out to my boy, Mike Howell. We will be back on Friday to talk about Machine Gun Kelly and, of course, all the other new records coming out. If you want to get in touch with me, you can send me an email, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. I read them all. And if you want to help with the show, if you've listened before, you know what I'm going to say, the All Access Club. It is what keeps this thing going every week for free. So if you're an avid listener or a new listener, or you just want to throw me a bone for my hard work, check it out. The link is leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. For as little as $6 a month, that gets you access to an incredible community of other fans of the show. We are like almost up to 500 people, which is absolutely incredible. Shout out to all my sinners worldwide. And of course, you get access to so much bonus content, bonus episodes, and other stuff. And I don't even like to tell you what it is because there's a lot of cool stuff. And, you know, it's really, it's special. So check it out. $6 a month gets you in, gets you all the content. If you want to pay a little bit more, you can get some merchandise. We send out these pretty cool patches every 3 months that are only available in the club. And yeah, it really is what keeps the lights on around here. So the link again, leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. Oh, and also a big shout out to everybody who came out to see Silverstein play our very first drive-in show in Ancaster, Ontario. It was so much fun. Best day of 2020 by far. Well, at least in my mind, after what we've gone through for the last 6 months, there were some pretty good days before the pandemic hit as well. But regardless, it was just so nice to feel normal again, to play a show, be on stage, rock out with my boys, and all of the people in the crowd that were, they made me so proud because they were so into it and rocking out, but still socially distanced and being safe and following the rules. And I love the creativity, whether it's people standing up through their sunroof and rocking out, or moshing in the back of a pickup truck. It was just so cool. I really hope we can do another one again. And if there's a drive-in show coming up anywhere, I highly recommend you check it out. Ours went absolutely amazing. I mean, we really put together something special, I think, but I know this can happen in other places. So if it happens, support them. And I want to give a big shout out again to everybody who came out, all my Canadian brothers and sisters. All right. Well, it's time. Let's get into it. Here it is, my conversation with Patrick Miranda of Movements.
Yo, what's up, Shane?
Yo, hey, Patrick, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Pretty good. Sounds like you're working in a factory or something right now. I hope that's not the case.
No, it's just vacuum cleaners.
I was going to say, COVID's hit some of us hard, but hopefully you're not back to factory work already.
Yeah. No. Just hanging out at the house, roommates and whatnot. So, yeah, it is what it is. Definitely yeah. Glad to not be working at a factory. I know some people have had to resort to some real ass normal jobs, and I'm thankful that I haven't had to do that yet.
I know, right? But I read something that they posted. I think it was the Menzingers about, you know, basically having an existential crisis of yeah. what they're doing with their band, because, you know, everything's changed, right? Like, they just put out a record, you know, like a reimagining of their last one, you know, as something to do, because right. they're like, you know, we what we do is we put records and we go on tour, and now we can still make records, I guess, but the touring is gone. And for bands like them, and I assume for you guys, and definitely Silverstein, that's pretty much like 90% of the income.
Totally. Yeah. And I mean, that's like the biggest thing for us too, is, you know, we make a bulk of our salary for the year yeah. just on touring and merch sales and that sort of thing, you know. And I wish that the music industry were in a position like it used to be, where artists actually made money from right. just their music. But, you know, the reality of the situation is, like, artists like us depend so heavily on the touring and the shows, and, like, you know, we're never going to be like the Post Malones of the world, who are just getting billions of streams and don't have to worry about any of that, you know.
Right.
Like, so for us, yeah, I mean, it's like, it's been really rough, and it has been like pretty scary, just like, you know, the uncertainty of everything and not knowing when things are going to go back to normal, or if they're going to go back to normal and all that, you know. It's just been crazy, dude. I don't know. Man. It's very nerve-wracking.
I know. Well, the main thing we're here to talk about is your new album, No Good Left to Give, which dropped like a week and a half ago, almost 2 weeks ago. This record is, dude, it's awesome. I love it. And
dude, thank you so much. I appreciate that so much coming from
you. Oh, yeah. I mean, I loved your last album, too. And, you know, I really turned heads, you know, because I feel like I knew about you guys. And, you know, we did like the Good Charlotte tour together in Canada,
right,
and, you know, our Warped Tour. And I was like, yeah, like, this is a great band. Like, I love watching them. But until I heard you guys, you know, put something down on paper, so to speak, with a record, like a real album, I was like, oh, like, this is the band. This is what, you know, because it's difficult, right, to always, you know... You know, you're at the mercy of whatever opening house sound guy is mixing you on that day, or
totally.
Warped Tour on a side stage. And I love Warped Tour like it's my whole life. But, you know, not the sound isn't always great at 11:30 in the morning when somebody's mixing you on a side stage. Right. So it wasn't until that record that I was like, oh, shit, like this is like maybe one of my favorite bands. Then with this album, it's like, wow, you guys actually, you know, somehow elevated, you know, the things I loved about your band even more. So I absolutely love this album, Patrick, and I'm glad I get to tell you, you know, in actual voice conversation. It's nice.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, dude. I do really appreciate that. And yeah, I mean, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. I think that this is the first record where I feel like we hopefully are going to start making sort of like a standout in our community. Not to say that Feel Something didn't do that. I mean, I think Feel Something definitely got eyes on our band and had people interested and excited. But to me, this album is like so much better than any of the stuff that we put out before. And
yeah,
I hope that it's capable of like just propelling us into a new chapter and bringing us to hopefully some new heights when things, you know, get back to normal.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the whole thing, right? I mean, you know, the first thing I want to ask you is, when did you actually record this album? When were you supposed to put it out? I assume it got delayed. And at some point, you know, like all these things, and I'm not going to like, I'm just going to be a completely, you know, transparent, open book. Like, you know, our tour got shut down in March. And we were like, okay, 2 months, we'll rebook it. We'll be back in 2 months. Everyone just thought that. And then when that didn't happen, everyone's like, okay, maybe another, well, let's say 3 months. I don't know. It's been 2 months. How about three? And like, you know, it was really, really obviously stupid at the time to think, to underestimate this thing.
Right.
But at some point, I imagine with No Good Left to Give, someone, either you guys or Fearless Records or whoever or management, threw their hands up and said, let's just put the goddamn record out because it's been recorded for a year. I don't know. When did you do it?
Yeah. So we went into the studio. It was a year ago, like right now, actually. Like we were in the studio in late September through mid-October of last year. Or wait. Yeah. Yeah, I know, that's right.
Oh, dude, no. What is time? What is time anymore?
Dude, straight up. Yeah. But no, so it was quite literally like exactly a year ago. And I mean, like, this is the thing is, last year, we were like, man, we've been touring so much the last 5 years, like, and we haven't had time to like chill and like write and record this album.
Yeah.
And so we were like, all right, we'll take most of 2019 off, right? Yeah. Yeah. So we played one tour last spring, and that was the only tour that we played all year. And we were just like, all right, like, cool. We're going to spend the rest of the year, like, literally, you know, fucking 7 or 8 months worth of time just, like, not touring and focusing on writing and then, like, recording it and whatever.
Yeah.
And that's what we did, with the expectation that, okay, 2020, as soon as the new year hits, we're going to drop the album. We're going to hit the ground running. We're going to, like, fucking, you know, have all these big tours lined up and everything. And so that was essentially the plan. And then instead of dropping it, like, at the beginning of the new year, we ended up pushing that idea to, like, all right, we're going to drop it in the springtime. And then that was, like, the official plan. It's like, okay, spring release, hit the ground running with a tour. We have Sad Summer lined up. After Sad Summer, we were going to do a bunch of international touring, come back, do some more US stuff. Like we had this whole plan, and then none of it happened. And so we were like, fuck.
Yeah.
So when stuff started getting gnarly, we were like, dude, like, when are we going to be able to put out this album? Because it was like, okay, we were kind of in the same boat. We were like, all right, well, let's push back. Like, maybe let's try for June when things have probably calmed down. Everyone's saying that it's going to be fine in the summer. Like, you know, we'll push for a June release and hopefully we can still do Sad Summer.
Right.
That didn't happen. We were like, okay, maybe like a July, August release. And then by that time, we were just like, we need to fucking put this record out. Like, it's been so long and people are dying for this new album. And for me, the longer that we sat and just like waited on it, the more stale it became, in my opinion.
Of course, it's just your opinion, but that's still important, you know, like you're still the one, it's still your art. It's still, you want to be excited about it. You don't want to be like, oh yeah, these are like 5-year-old songs. And now we have other ones that are better, but we'll put this other album out. Yeah. Right. Like that doesn't make
exactly
any sense.
Exactly. Right. So we were just kind of like, fuck it. Like we're just going to put out the album. And in the long run, maybe there will be some benefit that comes from that because, you know, you know how it is. Like when you're on tour and you have a set that has a mixture of old songs and new songs, you know, the new songs don't always get the best reaction because kids don't know them as well. And then your old songs get all the hype. And so we were like, well, maybe like if we don't put out or if we don't play any shows on this tour, sorry, my dog is literally attacking me.
No,
right,
you're
now.
Fine. You're fine.
I'm trying to focus, but she's like straight up going crazy.
I was like, is he slurping into the phone? What is that sound?
No, it's just my dog being a psychopath.
All good. All good.
Stop. So we were like, yeah, like maybe that will kind of alleviate any sort of, like awkwardness at shows because no songs will be new songs anymore. Yeah. They'll all be old songs.
Dude, that is the like glass the most half full I've ever heard.
Oh, totally. And that's the thing is like, I was just dying for any shred of positivity. And that's the only thing I could come up
with.
Right. You know, there's literally nothing else that I feel positive about this situation.
No. And I guess like with Silverstein, we did our record. Actually, we recorded it just after you would have done yours. We wrapped up like Halloween was our last day in the studio, and we managed to get our record out on March 6th, which
nice.
Right? Like, yeah, like we were able to.
It was like
least,
right on that cusp, right? Like
exactly.
Right before shit hit the fan.
Exactly, right? So we were able to have the lead up and the singles, and you know, and when we went on tour and we did 10 shows, but like it was kind of horrible timing because literally we put out a record and no one's talking about anything except COVID. Like it was all, or at that point we called it coronavirus, right? Now we call it COVID-19 for some reason. But at that point it was like, oh, March 6th. Well, like March 11th, the whole world is shutting down. So music, like what's that, right? So, you know,
exactly.
You guys may have been better off waiting.
It's definitely true. I mean, had we tried to put it out in spring before everything hit the fan, I think you're right. I mean, what you're saying is probably like exactly what have happened to us too, is like, you know, you're trying to like be like, hey, everybody, there's this thing that's out. But then everyone else is like, oh, you haven't heard about this literal global thing that's killing people. Like,
I know,
you know, so
I know.
I feel for you, man. I mean, that absolutely sucks.
I know.
And I know it's just, I feel like there's no good time to be releasing music right now with everything that's going on, especially the political climate. I mean, we were worried about that too, because, you know, as it got closer and closer to the election, we were like, dude, shit's just gonna start getting so gnarly here. Like, you know, I really hope that nothing insane happens like the day that we try and put this record out and, you know, we can't, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Some other fucking thing going on. So I don't know. It's been nuts, dude. It's been really fucking crazy.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm looking at your dates. Looks like your last show on tour was May 19th, 2019 at the Metro in Chicago. Great venue.
Yep. Yeah. It was a phenomenal show too. And so I'm glad that we ended it on a high note.
Right.
And I guess technically we did play, we played some holiday shows, but it wasn't like a tour. It was just like a, like some small headliners that we threw together at Chain just for fun. And at first we weren't even sure if we wanted to do those. We were like, do we want to play these shows or do we just want to wait until next year? So there's like a, like, so that like no one has seen us for however long. And then we were like, nah, fuck it. Let's play the shows.
Right.
And now I'm really glad that we played those shows.
No,
because
totally.
None of us had any idea what was about to come.
No, and you're throwing a bone to your, you know, your local fan base, you know.
Absolutely. That's,
and Chain Reaction is a legendary place. I mean, I don't want to say this, but you know, if things never get back to normal, at least completely, to say your last two shows ever were at Chain Reaction.
That's
not a bad way to go out, but I'm not saying that.
That's absolutely true.
I said it, but I didn't say it, okay? I didn't say it. Well, dude,
exactly.
You know, going back to you and, you know, your whole thing, I mean, you've been very, very, very open with your own mental health issues, you know, and I think the last podcast we did, you were, you know, very open with me about it. And,
yeah.
You know, you've done lots of touring and, you know, I feel like regardless of any issues you have, you know, for you, you get on a stage, you perform, you live the touring lifestyle. Now there's this huge 180, you know, it's kind of like what now? And for somebody that had to be, you know, you had to adapt to all of that and get comfortable with that to do that and do that at a high level. Now it's like, okay, well, now here you go, Patrick. Now it's about live streams or it's about whatever else, like something that with your mental health struggles, I imagine may be more difficult to kind of jump in with both feet.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm way off base here, but like, I just imagine for you, it could be more difficult.
Totally. I mean, yeah, I think that, the biggest thing with all of this, maybe not necessarily, the live stream aspect or anything, because truthfully, I think that doing like the live stream stuff is actually like way less nerve wracking or like way less like difficult to adapt to.
Okay.
Because like when we were touring, right? Like, adapting to the touring lifestyle from having not been like part of the touring lifestyle for, you know, however long, like as we were kind of transitioning into that realm of this world, like that was really difficult on me because I was like, I mean, A, I wasn't medicated at the time. B, I had never done anything like this. So like my fucking anxiety and my nerves were like through the roof.
Yeah.
You know, all that sort of like classic stuff, and then just obviously dealing with depression on a day-to-day basis and trying to navigate through all that. You know, I think that was more of like the jarring transition than this current situation is. Because truthfully, with live streaming, it's kind of like it's not even real in a way. Like it almost feels like band practice, you know? And like we did a little live stream on release day, and I didn't even have like a screen in front of me to like show me like what people were saying in the chat or like, you know, how many viewers we had. Like I was just kind of in the dark for the whole time. And I was like, this is weird. Cause I think I feel like I'm just talking to myself, you know, like, I don't think I'm actually talking to anybody right now. So like there's like that aspect of it where it actually feels a little bit easier to do, you know?
Yeah.
But I think, you know, the biggest thing about all of this is just like being stagnant, you know, not having anything to like look forward to or to do because we can't do anything. Like just like the constant like waiting and the constant uncertainty and the constant just like, you know, it seems like every day there's something new that we hear about that's just like more crushing than the last day. And like that to me has been what's weighed on me the most throughout this entire situation. It's just like, I feel like my mental health did take a significant downturn. Maybe not so much recently. I feel like my mood has come up a bit, but earlier in lockdown, you know, the first few months, into maybe even like the third or the fourth month, I was definitely like really like getting into sort of like a dark place, just, you know, just with not knowing what's going to happen. And especially with, the financial uncertainty of it all. You know, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to continue living in my apartment in Los Angeles. I might need to move back in with my parents. You know, like I was just going through all of these different scenarios in my head that were all, that all seemed to just be the worst case, you know? Yeah, it took a minute to get over all of that. But I think that I'm on the up and up now. I think that things are, I mean, they feel like they're starting to turn around in some ways. I don't know if that's maybe just the fact that people are like fucking over it and we're just going to say screw it, or if it means that there's actually some positivity to be, you know, rejoicing about. But I think as far as I've seen in California, our numbers have improved. So I guess that's reason to be somewhat happy. I'm not sure though.
Right. No, I think it's just after a while, you know, human beings are adaptable, you know, and after a while it's like, well, this is the new reality, you know, and
totally.
I think people just tend to start kind of just saying, okay, well, this is what I do now. And maybe
this is life now.
You can kind of see some of the, you know, at least for me and seemingly you, you know, being positive, you know, I think that's just the way, that's the only answer, right? Is it, to get through it, you know?
Totally.
Of course, like, you know, back to the record, there's a lot of doom and gloom on the album, which is funny because it was written pre-pandemic.
Oh, totally.
You know, I mean, it wouldn't be a Movements record without that.
That's very true.
But I do really enjoy some of the lyrics that are a little outside the Movements box.
Sure.
For example, Skin to Skin seemingly is about sex. That's fun.
It is. Yeah, that was the first song I've ever written about sex. It was definitely new for me. And I was super fucking nervous about it because I am like not like the type of person to like, I don't know, like, you know the saying, people who are like horny on the timeline because like they just post about shit on Twitter that's just like, all right, like you're being horny, like stop.
Right.
Like, that is not me. Ever.
No, it's
and
not.
So and this is like the ultimate horny on the timeline song for me because I'm just like, fuck, like this is unlike anything I've ever written. So yeah, I was super nervous about putting it out, but it's also my favorite song on the album.
It's my favorite too. How many Enrique Iglesias albums do you own? Any?
Zero, but I do love Enrique Iglesias.
Sorry, I don't know why I threw that in. No, it's probably,
I mean,
I
feel like every single one of his songs are about sex, so it makes sense.
Oh yeah. I always thought with Enrique, like when he came out, and you're a lot younger than me, but you may still remember, you know, it was like the, I can be your hero, baby. And he's like, he's in the videos and he's like crying, like, you know, like he's so sad and he's been hurt so bad. And you're like, oh my God, what did they do to you, Enrique? Then like, he puts out that song that like, tonight I'm fucking you. And I'm like, whoa, dude, it just took a very aggressive turn.
Like, yeah, straight up. That's hilarious.
Like the hunted became the hunter there, man. I was like, I don't know, dude. This, like, is this okay to say this? So,
straight up.
I don't think that's in your future, though. I don't think you're going to go full.
I don't think y'all ever be that vulgar.
Right. But no, I mean, here's the thing, right? And, you know, it's your second album. And I don't know how much you've listened to this podcast, but anytime a band is writing a second album or puts one out or put one out in the past, whether it was good or bad, you know, we talk about it because it's such a pivotal moment in a band's career. And to deny it or even downplay it, it's kind of fake because every band thinks about it. Every band feels that pressure. And I guarantee you, knowing you, you probably did too. You know, so when you start to, you know, branch out a little bit, you know, whether it's sonically or in your case, you know, lyrically, there's always a fear, right? Of, are people going to like this? Are people going to hate this? Are we going to, like, all of a sudden, you know, are people going to stop coming to our shows? Am I going to offend somebody? All these things probably went through your mind. So walk me through that. Walk me through that approach.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. You know, there was an extreme amount of pressure on us in order to, like, I guess there's an extreme amount of pressure just on us to like outdo what we've done in the past, right? Like, in order to like continue to grow, we obviously wanted to change and like, and I guess sort of evolve into a newer version of what Movements is. But at the same time, it's like, we did have to consider the fact that, okay, our last album did extremely well. Mm-hmm. And we did well because people liked, you know, what we had to offer and what we brought to the table. So how do we still bring those same elements to the table while like trying to explore different realms sonically or lyrically or whatever it might be, you know? And it was super nerve wracking, man. Like, it is such an important record. I think your second record as a band, especially in this genre, can really make or break your career, yes. You know? And I've seen bands that on their second record kind of flop. And then when they try and come back with a third record, they're like, you know, they're just not really hype anymore. There's someone else who's come and taken their place. And that's definitely something that we didn't want to end up happening to us on this record. And so far, it seems like the reception of the album has been overwhelmingly positive. So I have a good feeling that that won't happen to us on this album. But when we were writing it, we were just kind of like, all right, well, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to write what we want to write. And if people don't like it, then fuck it. But, you know, it was nerve wracking. I was nervous about what I was going to say and how I was going to do it. I think there was a certain amount of like fear too, you know, just like, am I even capable of writing songs as good as I wrote in the past? You know, have I literally, and this is kind of like, you know, one of the themes on the album. I mean, do I literally have anything left to give or is this just going to be something where I realize that I'm actually not really cut out for this and I can't do it, you know? And those are all things that have just gone through my mind.
Of course. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, you're human. I was just laughing because I was thinking of like, sorry, kids, no good lyrics left to give.
Exactly. Right.
No.
It's funny too. Like I saw a hate comment the other day, which is hilarious. I love laughing at the hate comments. I think it's like one of the highlights of my day. I saw a hate comment the other day that was like, ironic album title because they really didn't have anything good or some shit along those lines. And I thought it was hilarious, dude. I was like, yes, thank you.
I know. Well, that's the approach you have to take. You know, I think so many artists, you know, when they're younger or when they first, you know, have people talking about them on the internet, you know, and they go on to like YouTube or something, and it's like, you have to develop that thick skin quick. Like you have to learn to laugh at it. You have to learn to take joy in it, because if you don't, I just don't know how you would. You'd have to either ignore it or you would just be like,
yeah, it would. And be, I feel like that was the thing in the past for me, is like it used to bother me, you know.
Yeah.
And I would get like really like bummed out about it. And nowadays I'm just like, it literally does not matter what anyone says about you on the internet. It doesn't fucking matter. Like, people are still going to come to your shows. The kids who like you are still going to support you. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. And half the kids who are talking shit are just talking shit because they're either jealous or they're just trolls you know, there's any number of things. But I was just like, I don't care anymore. I'm just going to fucking do my thing. And truthfully, I mean, we write the music that we write because we like it. And if no one else likes it, that's fine. I still wrote an album that I enjoy, you know?
Absolutely. No, I read that you cut 6 or 7 songs from the album. I always love to ask bands about this, you know, because like, I remember growing up and reading magazines, and someone will be, you know, say something like, we wrote 50 songs for this record. And it's like, okay, well then how come out of the 12, like 8 of them suck, you know, like how bad were the other, you know, 38 songs or whatever. Right. Like,
right.
So I always wonder, you know, and of course now as I've gotten more into, you know, understanding the process and stuff, I realize that when someone says they wrote 50 songs. They had like 50 demos. Some of them might have just been a guitar riff, you know?
Exactly.
And people want to say that's a song. So when I hear you had 6 or 7 songs that got cut, you know, but I remember you talking about how some of them were like happier songs and stuff. I kind of wonder if they're complete enough that you would, you know, consider revisiting them or sharing them in any way, especially now that this record's been successful, you know?
I think that we would consider revisiting a few of them for sure. So this is the thing. When we wrote Feel Something, we went into the studio with only like 8 or 9 songs written. So we were doing a lot of writing in the studio. Like we had songs that we had to write from scratch in the studio, which was fine, but it also took up some valuable, you know, like production time.
Yeah.
This record, we wrote like so many fucking songs. Like, I think we had like 18 songs, like, and I'm not talking like some of them were just guitarists, like 18 fully written songs. Like every single one of them had 2 verses, a chorus.
Oh, wow.
And maybe 1 or 2 of them didn't have like a bridge or something. But like, for the most part, they all had, you know, verse, chorus, like, so we had like the bulk of like these songs written, and there was like straight up like almost 20 of them. But when we got into the studio, you know, we sat down with Will Yip, our producer, the first day, and we kind of just listened through every single song, and we were just like, all right, like which ones do we feel the strongest about? And it's not even to say that any of the songs that we had written were necessarily bad. You know, I think that any of the songs that we had cut still could have worked on this album in some way.
Yep.
And I would have been proud to have any of the songs that we cut on this album, but it was more so a matter of like, okay, sonically, what songs are already accomplishing what another song accomplishes better. Right. So like if there was another kind of more like upbeat, like more groovy song, but it wasn't as good as Skin to Skin, what's the point of putting it on the record? Because Skin to Skin already accomplishes the same feeling that song accomplishes. So we were like, all right, cool. So that's one eliminated. Okay, this song's kind of dark and like slow and like vibey. And like, we already have a song that accomplishes that. That's better. Cool. Cut it. So that was like the vibe that we went through as far as like kind of narrowing down and trimming the fat from the album. And I mean, I still really like a lot of the songs that we cut, and it's something that I definitely think that we could revisit in the future. But we'd probably end up maybe like rewriting some instruments and tweaking things just to, again, you know, progress that sound, because we never want to be the band that puts out the same record twice. You know, if there's songs on the next album that feel like they're just No Good Left to Give Part 2, I would be disappointed, you know?
Absolutely. Well, yeah.
So yeah. No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you know, with the pandemic and with, you know, you guys sitting around and stuff, you know, it could make sense to do like a deluxe edition and No Good Left to Give,
sure,
or throw up like a, you know, another EP or something, right? Like,
right. And I think that is something that's something that we actually have talked about, because of the, I don't know, 6 or 7, however many songs we cut, 2 of them were cut after we actually like recorded them. Like, so 2 songs, I think we recorded 14 tracks total at the studio, and there's only 12 on the record. And so the two songs that we didn't put on the record are like straight up like ready to go. They're like real things that we could release at any time. And I think we have talked about potentially doing like a B-side 6-inch type thing or 7-inch type thing. That has like the 2 new songs, or like, sorry, not new, but like the 2 cut songs.
Yeah.
And then like the other side would be like 2 like demos or like maybe reimagined versions of songs on the album. We totally have thought about doing something like that. But we've also just been like, fuck it. Maybe we should just write a new album while we can't do anything else. Maybe by the time we start touring again, we'll have 2 albums to tour on.
I know, right? I know. Well, before we talk about that, and I do want to kind of get into what you guys are planning now, but, you know, one of the quotes that I pulled, you know, from your press release was that you said this was natural for us. And I really like that, because I think it's really important for artists to like be their own influence, you know? And when they're making a new album, say, okay, like what, where am I at? You know, where is our music taking us rather than where do we want to take our music, you know? And I think that that can be so dangerous when artists say, and you hear it all the time, like, especially in tabloidy, you know, magazines like Kerrang or something, you know, they'll ask somebody like, oh, you're going to put a new record, most anticipated record this year, like, what's it going to sound like? And someone's like, oh, it's going to be the heaviest record we've ever written or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's like, if you set out to write the heaviest record, you know, you've ever written, maybe it'll be heavy, but maybe it'll also be garbage. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like if you take that approach. So I really like that, that you, not only did you take that approach, but you said that, you know, because that's not that sexy to just say, oh yeah, we just did what was in our hearts and we made a record. Like there's not really a story there, but
right.
I feel like that's important for you guys as a band, as a unit to progress. You know, but also the other side of the coin too is you said you never want to make the same record twice. So
yeah,
were those two sides pulling at you at all?
I mean, I think in a way, yeah. Like, there was definitely like a significant amount of like writing demos and stuff, and then kind of like maybe scrapping them or like rethinking them because we were like, you know, this sounds too feel something. Like it sounds too similar to something we already have, right?
Yeah.
And so yeah, as we were writing the record, we were just like, fuck thinking about the fact that, you know, we need to follow up this album. Like fuck thinking about that. Fuck thinking about what we want our music to sound like based on other artists. Fuck like any of this nonsense that literally does not matter. We're going to write what comes naturally to us. And we didn't obviously like we gain influence and yeah, inspiration from the artists around us and the artists that we listen to, but we're never going to be like, I really want to write a record that sounds like, you know, Define the Great Line by Under Oath. Like we're never going to specifically pick out like a point in time that a band was at and be like, I want to sound like that, you right. know, like we're always going to just be like, all right, cool. What is Movements going to sound like next? We don't know. Great. Let's just fucking go with it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
I don't know if your vocal cords could handle Define the Great Line era Under Oath, but,
totally.
I'd love to hear
absolutely
it.
Not. It would be fucking dope, but no, totally. And I mean, I use that as like an example. What I really mean is just like, literally, we're never going to like look at a band that we like and think, let's sound like that. You know,
absolutely.
We're always going to, we'll draw inspiration from that. And I think that there is an Under Oath influence on our, you know, our new record, but maybe not in the way that anyone would really ever recognize. And,
yeah,
and I think that's cool. You know, I think that's a good thing. Because I don't want our music to be something where you could listen to it and say, oh wow, this sounds just like fucking whoever. Like, I want it to be like, oh wow, I don't really know if I know any other bands that sound like this. That's cool. You know,
exactly.
Or at least know other bands that sound exactly like that. I'm sure there's bands who sound similar. We're never going to be completely original, but I mean, we're going to try, you know?
No, for sure. So what's next? I mean, you know, obviously you expect to put a record out and go on the road and spend the better part of a year and a half or whatever on the road, then write and record a new record and do it all over again. Obviously,
right,
that standard thing every band does is completely different now.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Twitch live stream that you did. You know, I only imagine you guys probably have something more in the works. I don't know if you can talk about it or what the plan is to kind of unveil these songs and promote this album.
Yeah, I don't know how much I can say about it right now, but I think what I can say is that we are planning on doing another sort of live stream concert thing. I don't have a date really yet. I don't even really know what it's going to really look like as of right now. But we are planning on doing like a full band, like, 'cause like the Twitch live stream was cool, but it was like kind of stripped down. Like,
yeah,
we didn't really like play the songs how they're recorded. We played them in sort of almost an acoustic version.
Yeah.
And we want to do a real live stream that's like full band. Every song is how it sounds on the album. We're in an actual venue. Maybe we even do something where, you know, 10 fans or something can enter to win and come watch the show or something if everyone's socially distant or whatever, you know.
Yep.
We're trying to think of fun, creative ways that we can still be engaging with our fan base and doing something special, something different. I don't know. I would hope that this is something that we can continue to do. We've talked about potentially doing. So the main has like they do like a monthly subscription type thing.
Yep.
Where they have like a whole subscriber base, and then each month they have like really cool like exclusive content that only their subscribers can access, which I think is such a fucking cool idea. Because there is so much stuff that we have that's like either just unreleased demos or you know, artwork that never got put on merch that could be like exclusive for the subscribers or whatever, you know, like there's all these different lanes that we've kind of like talked about doing. But as of right now, nothing is totally solidified.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, as if there's fans listening, you know, over the next 3 weeks to a month, maybe keep an eye out, because I'm sure we'll start to put together some more solid plans and end up, you know, having something cool for you guys in the future.
Awesome. Perfectly good response. It is hard to know what to do, you know, and totally. It's hard to know when, if ever, things are going to get back to normal / what is the new normal. You know, that's all so tough too. I understand you've been spending a lot of time on Twitch. Is that true?
We stream on Twitch probably less than we should. During the beginning of the pandemic, we were doing like almost weekly Twitch streams where we would just go on and kind of fuck around and like play random games and just talk to people and I don't know, just have like a just like fun little hangouts and stuff. I think that we should be utilizing it a little bit more because we haven't really done it recently other than the live stream on release day. But yeah, I think that that's something that we will probably start doing again. You know, cause we do like, we all play video games and stuff and we figure why not be on stream and also like play and like hang out with like fans and whatever. So, yeah, we have a Twitch channel, but so far it's been slightly inactive.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah. And I just, you know, there's all these new lanes of opportunity that I always totally. Like to ask people and, you know, help promote too, you know, if I can.
Absolutely.
Well, Patrick, man, what else to tell the people?
Dude, I don't know, man. wear a fucking mask. Don't go to restaurants. Please help us get back to normal soon. That's all I have. I don't know.
No,
fucking be responsible.
It's good. Yeah, I think it's a good thing to tell people. I mean, yeah. You know, we're up here in Canada. We've kind of hit our second wave. I think kind of the same way that the States did, like. Maybe 2 months ago or something when the numbers started to spike.
Sure.
That's kind of where we're at now. And, you know, everyone's wondering about, oh, do we have to close stuff again? You know, what do we do? So, you know, I don't think this is, we're going to be out of the woods anytime soon, which is sad. But Silverstein,
totally.
we did play a drive-in show last weekend.
Nice, dude.
And that was super, dude, it was so great. And, you know,
That's awesome.
First of all, it felt like things were normal again, you know.
Good.
We were all backstage in this like little trailer, and you know the five of us were together and our crew and everything, like, and there was a stage and everything, like that all felt normal, which was just really, really like a beautiful thing and something I think we all needed at this point, you know, like everything just from even having like a veggie tray in the dressing room, you know, like those like
totally,
little things
yeah.
that
it's the little things, man.
Yeah. And then when we actually got up there and we played, you know, and for us, everything was normal. We're on stage playing and people were so respectful. You know, everybody stayed in or on top of their cars and, you know, we had a really great crowd and it was really, really exciting. But I don't know. I mean, I assume in Southern California, someone must be doing drive-in shows. I'd highly recommend, you know, you guys maybe try to check out if you can do something like that.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. I mean, I would definitely be interested in doing it for sure. For a while I was, and I guess in some ways I still kind of do feel like I kind of hate the idea of like a show where kids can't like be like have that show experience, right? They can't be in the pit. They can't like be feeling the energy of right. like the show. Like in my mind, sometimes I think about it and I'm like, man, that sucks. But then at the same time, I'm like, but like kids really want to go to a show right now. And I'm sure that they'd be fine with a drive-in show. So like, maybe we should do one.
Yeah. It was better in that respect than I thought it was going to be. Cause you know, my first feeling, like the first thing I'm thinking about is like, okay, everyone's sitting in their car looking through their windshield. Like we had a PA and we had an FM radio transmission, so you could kind of choose.
Fuck yeah, but, that's cool.
You know, we had beautiful weather, which, you know, in end of September up here in Canada, you never really know.
Sure.
We had beautiful weather, but it was, I really didn't feel a disconnect or like the people didn't feel an energy because, you know, people are standing up through their sunroofs. People rented like U-Haul trucks and were like sitting in the back of U-Haul trucks. And,
oh, nice. Like, That's sick.
People were super creative about how they were doing it and socially distancing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I even saw like like two dudes like moshing in the back of their pickup truck.
That's hilarious.
You know, like they're in each other's bubble, I guess. So, you know,
I love that as long as
people are respectful about, okay, this is, you know, my group of four and that's your group of four.
Right.
And we can yell back and forth, you know, like we can, you know, like there's a little bit of that too going on within the crowd,
sure,
just from a distance. And
right,
when we put it all together and we had the lights and we had the big screens and we had, you know, all that stuff happening, I think everybody was just excited to experience live music, not through their computer or phone or iPad. And
totally.
And it was like, yeah, I'm telling you about it. I mean, obviously a lot of people are listening to this. I think any bands that are considering doing it should do it. Cause it was really, really fun. And you know,
that's good, man.
Yeah.
That makes me feel way better about it. Hearing it from your perspective, you know, and not just like someone who's like, oh, like you guys should do a drive-in concert, but from someone who's actually done it and had a positive experience, that makes me feel a lot better about it. So maybe that is something we'll have to consider.
Yeah. I don't know. All good. But hey, it's a great new record. No Good Left to Give. Everyone should go listen to it right now. What are you waiting for? Stop this. Go listen to it. And maybe the Losing My Religion
doing?
Cover too. I love the Losing My Religion cover. I always wanted to
thank you. Hell yeah, dude. I appreciate that very much. It's definitely a song that we were like nervous about because it's like that original is like unbeatable. So we wanted to make sure we did it justice.
You know,
I think that we did a pretty good
job.
You
know, when you listen to a song and there's a moment in it where you get like, you know, the chills, like your hairs on your arm stand up a little bit.
Yeah.
That song, the REM version, there's like a chord change and a melody that every time I hear it, I'm like, oh, like that is so that I just feel, pardon the pun, I feel something every time that happens, like honestly, in the original. And I always love that song, even though I couldn't really put my finger on why. So
totally.
I was nervous about your version because I was like, okay, is it going to work? Like, what are the qualities that of that song in the original recording that make me have like a physical reaction to this song? And is it going to be the same when a different band is covering it with a different voice and a different timbre of voice and a different, you know, fucking maybe key? Like, everything could be different. And it still did it. The first time I heard it, I was like, there it is. Like, I guess
fuck
it's that
yeah,
melody
dude.
And that chord change or whatever it is that is having that reaction. So I absolutely loved your version.
Thank you so much, Shane. I really, really appreciate that, dude. For real.
I'm really tooting your horn a lot today, aren't I? I'm not sucking
hey,
up. I really do like what you do, man.
Hell yeah. Thanks, dude. For real.
Thank you so much. I'm going to play
thank
a song.
For,
go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry. No. I was just thanking you for fucking listening to the record and stuff. It's always nice to hear your feedback and stuff. And stuff.
Absolutely. Patrick.
I appreciate it a lot, man.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to play the sexy jam from the new record, Skin to Skin. Here it is on Lead Singer Syndrome. Thank you, Patrick.
Hey, thank you so much, Shane. I appreciate it, man.
Music from Movement's Skin to Skin, No Good Left to Give is the album. It is out now. I want to thank Patrick so much for coming on the show and talking to me, and I hope he's doing okay, because, man, it just is tough, you know, especially a band like theirs. I didn't mention this to him, but, you know, they put out this so, like, incredible debut album, and everything is going so well for the band, and they're on the up and up and up, and everyone's finding out about them, and they're selling out all their shows, and then finally they're like, okay, we'll take a little bit of a break, and then now it's a very long break, and it just pains me, because it's just so hard, you know, but God, I love this record, and I hope you do too. Check it out. Next week, I'll be back with another episode, and after that, another episode, and after that, another episode. So hit the subscribe button. Check out the All Access Club. If you have the means, I highly recommend it. So choice. And that's about it. I can't resist, though. I have to leave you with another tune. I have to do it. This album is just too good. This is one of my favorites on the album. It's called Santiago Peak. Here it is on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. I'll see you next week.